You need to be strong because some tenants will demand all your blood. So you need to be strong. You need to assert yourself. You need to be assertive enough to say that, okay, now you're being too much. This is what our contract says. Always go back to the contract. Make sure that everyone understands. But also you need to maintain a good relationship with the tenant.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Unpack podcast, where we chat about all things finance and property related. I'm back with another episode, and today's guest is here to unpack how to prepare yourself for becoming a landlord and important things that she has learned in the past few months.
I am Shitibani Mabunda. I work as an account manager for a toy company, and I'm a landlord.
I want to know more about what led to the decision for you and your family, you and your husband, to decide, okay, so we are going to become landlords.
We bought a bigger house. We've got two kids. So we were living in a 3-bedroom house, which is okay for one child. But now we had a second toddler and the space was smaller, etc. So we looked and found a house and decided to buy the house. And fortunately, we were financially able to keep the first property. So we opted to rent it out instead of just selling it because it just wasn't looking good for the prices and stuff. So that's why we decided to become landlords.
So take us through the step-by-step process of becoming a landlord. So you and your family decided that you need a bigger home and you decided to rent out your previous or current, your other house. And then, so what are the steps that somebody has to take in order to start finding tenants and making money off rent? Like what are some tips that you have for us? And also, are you managing the property or did you find a property management company?
Well, the first step we did was just do a bit of an overhaul on stuff that tenants look at, like bathrooms. So they came into brand new bathrooms. We lived there for so long that we never saw an issue with them. But obviously, if you wanted rented, you at least have to make an effort to maintain, renovate, paint, so that they find your property nice and fresh. That was the first thing. Then we did find a managing agent to manage a lot of the day-to-day stuff because it's just too much work sometimes and tenants can be demanding.
And how did you find an agent? Because I'm currently looking for one and honestly, I need as much advice as possible because there are so many out there. And to be honest, I don't even know what I should be looking for because it's my first time looking for one. So any tips for me personally, because I need this.
So we actually have another property in Pretoria, which doesn't directly belong to us. It's a family property that we decided to take over amongst the siblings. We are the ones that took over. So that agent in Pretoria has been managing their property very, very well for years. And it's pretty much seamless. If anything happens, they contact you, get you 3 quotes, you decide on the quotes, and the stuff gets fixed. So maintenance-wise, relationship-wise, I think that's the reason why we chose them, because they're just very good at what they do, contract renewals, dealing with the tenant. They really take the whole management of the property out of your hands. And if you want to be hands-on, you can, but for the most part, we didn't. So this is why we stuck to them. We found out they have a branch in Joburg, and then we just went with them.
Okay, so we have the rental property. We have somebody who's going to help us manage it. Now, how do we find tenants? And even like for people who do not have a management company, do you have any tips for finding the right tenant? And what are some things that people should be looking at when choosing a tenant? Because you tend to hear a lot of people or like property owners complaining about tenants and unnecessary headaches. So how do you make sure that the tenant you allow or get into contract with to stay in your home is the right one for you to avoid issues in the future? As there's like certain things that we should be thinking about. I know like the property management company will probably handle this for you, but if you do have any tips for me, for example, or like anybody who's listening, what do you recommend?
For one, I think the first thing would be to decide who we're looking at. Are you looking at a family? Are you looking at a single person? Because it weighs on the way you'll find your property the next time, probably if they move. If you're looking at a family, they've got kids, they will write on your walls. Are you going to paint before? Are you going to paint after? That kind of stuff. That would be the one. The relationship with an agent, I think in this busy virtual age, it's better to just get an agent that can do most of the stuff. It's a nominal fee to pay for that peace of mind of having someone make sure that your rates are paid, make sure that the levies are paid, make sure that the tenant is happy. And if you do need to step in, you step in like we did recently. But yeah, the get a good agent, have a good relationship with them, because like I said, our one, we found them in Pretoria. They have a branch here. So they go over and above with what they do for us. And they're always making sure that they check on the property and the tenant. So yeah, those are some of the tips that I have.
I totally agree. So like one thing I've personally learned in the past couple of months is the importance of partnering with the right professionals. Like even if you're not renting out a property or if you're not a property owner, it's just important to always have a strong network of other professionals that you can rely on for assistance and guidance with different things. So you already mentioned the importance or why people should consider getting a property manager. But what are some other people or contacts that a landlord needs to have?
Hey, it's been interesting because as I think when we engaged, firstly, it was on what your learnings are. So we learned quite a bit. The first learning was just to check your people, your vendors. So your vendors that are providing services, your plumbers, your painters, all of that. You just need to check them and just go behind them, because as much as they've done some work for us in the current house, they were very unsupervised in the rental property. So that was a learning for me, is that go back and check what they do, because I was always here in the current house making sure that, okay, this is screwed on properly, this is what I wanted, the tiles are the right way, etc. In this one, we didn't have as much time to supervise. So that was a big learning for us, is to go back and check their workmanship and all of that stuff.
Wow, yeah. I totally agree, actually, because having the right team or the right people doing the work and making sure that it's done correctly, that's also very important. So this goes back to another episode that I recorded with the National Home Builders Registration Council. So the NHBRC is a council in South Africa where you can go and check to see if a builder is qualified, or a place where you can go find a database of qualified builders. And if you have issues with your builder or you want to claim from them, if you have like issues where like something breaks and you can't reach the builder, or you want to claim from them and you want them to send another builder to come and fix it, they have all that information on their website. So I highly recommend going back and listening to that episode, because that was such a game changer for me, because I didn't even know they existed. But as like somebody who is a landlord and you're probably like buying and renovating and renting out properties, it's so important for you to make sure that you have a reputable contractor, somebody who's registered, somebody who knows what they're doing, someone you can contact and they can come back if there's a problem. And yeah, that's just very important. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because people don't really talk about this, but it's so important. Don't forget to download our ebook, 10 Plus Ways to Finance Your First Property Investment. In the book, you'll find information on how to invest in property with as little as 100 Rand, different types of investment schemes and grants available for both individuals and business owners. So from township property grants to farming grants, all that information is in our ebook. So do check it out and download it from our website. Okay, so a quick recap. We have a property. We do a little bit of fixing, painting, changing tiles and bathrooms. We get a property management company, and then we get a tenant in. But before the tenant officially moves in, what other things should we be aware of?
There has to be a sign off. Or what we did was we had a sign off of the property to say, is the tenant happy with everything, check the stove is working, check the geysers and stuff are working, just so that if any issues arise, at least you know that, okay, they've signed this off, this is something new. It's not something that we handed over the property to the tenant with an issue. Yeah, it's like a handover document, like this is how you switch on the stove. If the gas stove, does it have a starter? Do you need matches? This is how the UPS works. It will work automatically. Here's your geysers. Here's your DB box. That kind of stuff in the handover, so that this poor person is not calling the agent every other second trying to figure out how stuff works.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like when you're staying at an Airbnb and you arrive and they give you one of those little books or paper with information about how things work. So that makes sense. I like that though. I want to know more about the cost involved. So who is responsible for what? What does the landlord pay for? And what does the tenant pay for?
In our current contract, the rent is obviously responsible for paying their rent. We excluded water and electricity. So the beginning rent looked quite favorable because now you've excluded water and electricity. We just didn't want that headache of dealing with the water and electricity. Obviously, levies are still our responsibility, but the water and electricity, the usage, it differs. Like I said, you must look, are you looking for a single someone? Are you looking for a family? If you've got a family, you know everyone's taking showers and baths, etc. We didn't want to have that headache of, oh my gosh, this month's water bill is like 5,000 when last month it was 1,000. So they are responsible for that. We put that in the contract.
And what about maintenance?
That would be my responsibility. Like recently I had some piping issues. After all the maintenance and refurb was done, it turns out some pipes weren't screwed on properly, or some joints, I don't know, plumbing stuff wasn't done properly. That is my responsibility to make sure that I fix it and then the tenant is happy. That is also, it's also contractual as well. It's in the contract that all maintenance should be carried out by the landlord.
Yo, wow. That sounds so stressful and expensive. Wow. But I want to know more about, so let's say your tenant has a geyser burst or a pipe is leaking and they can't reach your agent. And it's 11 p.m. on a Saturday or a public holiday and they call you. Is that appropriate, or do you have some kind of clause in the contract where they can't do that?
It hasn't happened to us, touch wood, but I know of cases where, yes, you have to be. The geyser burst, it was leaking through everything, through the plugs, through everything, and managing agent was nowhere to be found because obviously it's 11 p.m. on a Sunday night. Landlord has to come through and sort it out, call a 24-hour plumber, sort the thing out. So in essence, yes, yeah, you do have to be on call 24/7. Obviously, if it was a Monday, you'd call the agent, you and your agent would call whoever your supplier is. And that's another thing, get reliable suppliers. Like now we found these amazing plumbers. If anything happens, we use them for this house, we use them for the rental property. If anything happens, we send them, they send the invoice and we are sorted, no more issues, like a proper company, and their workmanship is excellent. So yes, you do need to be on call, but also find really, really good suppliers that if something like this happens, you can just call and be like, yo, hi, there's been a burst. Can you attend to it ASAP?
Oh, I love that advice. I love it. So, you know, another thing about like rental properties is, as much as people say, buy a property, rent it out, make money, become rich, become a property investor, there are obviously pros and cons to everything. And there's also a lot of challenges with being a landlord. And one of the most common challenges, I ran a poll on my Instagram, and one of the most common challenges that everyone complained about was tenants who stop paying rent. So what do you do if you get to a situation where your tenant can't pay rent? And especially now with like COVID going on, people losing jobs, there's so much uncertainty in the world. And like, how do you even deal with those periods of vacancy in between tenants as well? So do you have any tips on how to deal with something like this? Like, can you actually throw somebody out?
One thing is, it's very difficult to kick people out. It's very difficult to evict. I've been a renter before, so I obviously know that if you default on your rent, the landlord will have a bit of a difficult time. Obviously, if you as the tenant are difficult as well, if you come to an agreement, you come to an agreement. But yeah, it's difficult to evict someone. But also, one of the things is that you must do your maths. Hey, if your investment property is still bonded, make sure that whatever the amount, the rental amount that you've agreed on, you can cover yourself. If the person defaults, make sure that whatever the bond amount that you have, if your property is still bonded, you'll still be able to cover it just in case you unforeseen, like you're saying, COVID is a problem, people losing jobs. Like in my complex, I had some neighbors move out, some neighbors who were tenants move out because they simply couldn't afford it anymore. And that would leave the landlord without a tenant and having to go back to pay the bond. So make sure that whatever agreement you've had on your costs and stuff, your maths is correct. You can cover the bond for a month or two without dying completely and going bankrupt. That's the one thing, is just do your maths, cover your butt, make sure that all of your stuff is in order, that if anything happens, you still are able to stay afloat as the landlord, because obviously you don't live there anymore, you've got expenses on your other property, etc.
So, for someone who's thinking of buying and renting out a property, what are your final words of wisdom? This is something that you wish someone had told you before you became a landlord.
The location makes a difference. Our property is located close to a very good school that I know lots of people obviously want that address because of the very good primary school and the high school next to us. So, and obviously we said we were looking for a family because it was a 3-bedroom. But yeah, location is key. Adding value. Yeah, I was talking to my mother about this earlier because she's also a landlord of many properties. So adding value to your offering, you're not just offering a building. We left the UPS because one, it was going to be way too small for this house that we moved into, but it didn't make sense for us to take it out. So we left it in there, and that was a value add for the customer. Security as well. We had an alarm system in there. Obviously, we left that, and that is part of the value add as well. So I'd say make your property attractive. Our suburb, I mean, it's quite attractive. It's a nice suburb, it's an older suburb, but we still wanted to add value to whoever would be renting. So you've got a UPS if your power goes out, you've got security that will call you, and a security system that will call you if there's any other issues, if there's any issues as well. And just the look, we pretty much painted the whole house. We did the bathroom. The only thing we didn't do was the kitchen because it was just too much of a project to handle in between moves. But to add value to what your tenant is getting as well, that made it attractive. I mean, we put it up for probably a week and a half and it was snapped up. So the value add is key. Yeah, that area is very popular. Like there's a school that they like. I remember a cousin, I don't know if this is relevant, but anyway, a cousin of mine wanted our address because that primary school is really good. So it's a homey suburb. Lots of nice amenities around it. Small shopping center. If you want to go to a big one, there's Crest around the corner. There's many options. Clearwater as well. So the area you buy in becomes very, very important. Yeah, and the maintenance, like stuff like we didn't have a garden because my husband hates gardening. So we had pretty much paving. I think if I was a renter, I would look at that because the complex itself doesn't have a garden service. So we don't have a garden, it's just paved. So that kind of maintenance for the tenant is just, you just need to sweep it and clean it and keep it clean. And if it's driven, but that's also another thing, yeah.
And what kind of skills does someone need to be a landlord? Is there something that I'm supposed to be good at or knowledgeable about, or can anyone just, become a landlord?
Oh, I think one of them that I've learned in the past week, because we had some planning issues, is just patience. But also, you need to be strong, I guess, because some tenants will demand all your blood. So you need to be strong. You need to, what's the word in English? You need to assert yourself. You need to be assertive enough to say that, okay, now now you're being too much. This is what our contract says. Always go back to the contract. Make sure that everyone understands. But also you need to maintain a good relationship with the tenant, even though ours isn't as direct, but we've been there last week and yeah.
And what about these landlords who refuse to give people their deposits back? So is there some kind of ombud or a place where you can go if you're having issues with your landlord? Do you know about this? Because I know there's an ombud for everything these days. So do you have any tips?
As the landlords, be liquid, because sometimes you find that it's issues of liquidity that now you've chowed, I don't know if I can say that, but you've chowed the deposit money. And now your tenant wants to move. Everything is in order, which is, it's happened to me. I've rented before. It's happened to me. And now there's a delay in getting the money out. I think liquidity is key. Keep that money somewhere else. You don't need to spend it. Keep it elsewhere. But also as the tenant, take care of the place that you're staying in. Because, for example, we painted, we did bathrooms. If I get there and my taps are busted, I'm taking it out of your deposit. So it's a two-way street. Like, as the, I don't know if that's legal. As the tenant, take care of the place you're staying at, but as the landlord, also honor giving back a person their deposit. Obviously, unless the damage is like major, I should think you'd be able to give all of it back. And anyway, you have to keep track of your property and keep maintaining. I have a friend who rented her place out and she didn't maintain for the longest time. When time came to get a new tenant, she had to do a whole lot of maintenance things. So consistent maintenance, checking up, like in our Pretoria property, our tenant was quite antisocial. So they didn't want people in the house a lot, but which meant that it's going to take you a while to realize that stuff is broken, all of that. So I'd say for a new landlord, make sure that you're maintaining, checking up every 3 months, making sure that your property is in a good condition. So you won't have issues of taking back other people's deposits. I take back the thing of the busted up tips. But yeah, consistent maintenance for me is like, it's like in your own house. If the plumbing is busted and then the toilet leaks, next thing something else leaks, next thing the next, by the time you decide that it's time for you to make all the fixes, it's going to cost you a lot more money than if you had done it monthly. Similarly to a rental property, make sure that your agent and yourself are checking up, hi guys, how was the taps, how was the stove, how was this, because you'll find yourself with a huge bill once the person has left. So that would help avoid deposit issues, because now you're fighting over, no, but my stove is broken now, when maybe it was broken months ago and you could have fixed it, now it's a bigger cost.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat. This has been so amazing and I've learned a lot, especially for someone who's thinking of becoming a landlord in SA. This was quite insightful for me. So if someone wants to reach out to you, how do we find you?
I'm on the socials. I'm at TVT. I'm the most active on Instagram. If you want to try my Facebook page, try it. I check it about once or twice a week. It's still quite active, and I think I get notifications from my messenger. So Instagram and Facebook are my main mediums.